Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nations.
Hallelujah. It's good to see you. Turn to your neighbor and say something good is going to happen to you. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for today. We magnify your holy name. We exalt you. We ask you, O God, to pleasure us with your presence, with your goodwill in this time, O God. For it's you that we seek to please. It's you that we seek to honor. It's you that we seek to hear from. And we pray that may burdens be removed, may yokes be destroyed, may lives be changed, O God. We expect a miracle. We expect a transformation. We expect a turnaround that arguments cannot dispute. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. So today I want to talk about, last week we talked about the kinds of openness that come to mind when you talk about open heavens. Today I want to take it further and talk about what prevails or what takes place in an open heaven situation. Glory to God. What takes place, what goes on, what it's like there. Hallelujah. The first thing that prevails where there's an open heaven is in 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 12. The Bible shows us that where there's an open heaven, prayers are paid attention to. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 1 Peter 3:12 tells us that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open unto, sorry, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Glory to God. So, of course, when God's eyes are open, when God's ears are open, that's as good as saying heaven's ears are open. Heaven is open. Glory to God. Now, you notice there that what happens when heaven is open is that prayers are paid attention to. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Prayers are paid attention to. Hallelujah. That doesn't mean God doesn't hear prayers elsewhere. He doesn't pay attention to prayers elsewhere, but this is talking about in a more special way. Hallelujah. There's a man of God who said, all of us pray and God hears us, but there are some people who pray and God says what? Hallelujah. It's like God is at their beck and call. And that's not unscriptural. You'll see it again and again. That's why the Bible tells us that then you will come and pray unto me, and then I will be entreated of you. Hallelujah. I will show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Glory to God. When you seek me, you shall find me. When you seek me with all of your heart. That doesn't mean he doesn't care about other seekers. But there are some that he's more attentive to. And especially in an open heaven situation. Glory to God. So, the second thing is that provisions abound. The first thing is that prayers are paid attention to. The second thing is that provisions abound. And you'll see that in Deuteronomy 28 verse 12, where the Bible tells us that the Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heaven, and pour you out rain, and cause you to be a lender and not a borrower. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Here it is in 28 verse 12. And the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods. Verse 11. In the fruit of your body and in the fruit of your cattle and in the fruit of your ground in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. That's verse 11. Verse 12. The Lord shall open to you his good treasure. It's the one. Verse 12. And the heaven to give rain to your land in this season and to bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lend to many nations and not borrow. That's verse 12. Deuteronomy 28, verse 12. That's what I was talking about. So, in the Bible, rain tends to imply provisions, hallelujah, of different kinds. Amen? So again, there you're seeing it. God opens the treasure, which he calls heaven, and when he opens it, rain comes. This rain is of such consequences that you lend to many nations, or you lend to others, and do not what? You do not borrow. Glory to God. Another one that we know on that is Malachi 3:10, which I guess even if we don't go there, but you can go there, which talks about tithing, and it says that if you do it, the Lord will see if God will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing so that your storehouses cannot contain. Hallelujah. So, number one, prayers are paid attention to. Number two, provisions abound. Hallelujah. Number three is that rewards are received. In Matthew chapter 6, that's the major theme of what Jesus says. He says, don't do good deeds before men to be seen by them, because then you'll have no reward. But do your deeds, good deeds, to be seen by God, so that God who sees in secret... Remember that? You could find that in verse 4, verse 6, and verse 18. I just cited a few of them, but that chapter is full of them. It says that when you do these things, praying, fasting, giving, not to be seen by men, but by God, then the Lord who sees in secret will reward you openly. I like that word. Openly means heaven will not be hiding where your situation is concerned. Heaven will be open. Everyone will be seeing this is heaven at work. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 18 says that you appear not unto men to fast, but unto your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret shall reward you openly. Hallelujah. How many of you want God to reward you openly? Hallelujah. So that there is no doubt that this is heaven, this is the doing of the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Hallelujah. So, prayers are paid attention to, provisions abound. Then number three, rewards are received. He will reward you openly. Number four is that, I call it backup or support is afforded. You get God's backup or you get heaven's backup when heaven is open. Hallelujah. And a good example of that is in Joshua chapter 10, the Israelites were fighting against the Amorites. And the day began to wane, as in it began to get to evening and the battle was not yet finished. So Joshua prayed that the sun stand still. He actually commanded that the sun stand still. And the Bible says that the sun stood still and the moon stood still. And they fought, if I got it right, they fought till morning, but it was still light. Hallelujah. And then now this is what I wanted to note, that in that situation of heaven being open for them, God caused hailstones to fall, so that more enemies died by hailstones than at the edge of the sword. Glory to God. So heaven was open for them, and then backup was given. Glory to God. This happened again and again. Of course, you know, the crossing of the Red Sea, same story. The conquering of Jericho. All these situations were heaven aided, heaven supported. Because God was especially attentive to what was going on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So prayers are paid attention to. Provision abounds. Rewards are received. Backup is afforded. And then number five, visions are experienced. Hallelujah. In Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 1, let's read there. Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 1. The Bible says, now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Cheba, that the heavens were what? Opened, and I saw visions of God. Hallelujah. So here is heaven being opened, and one of the things we see prevailing there is that visions are experienced. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Visions are experienced. And another good example is in Revelation chapter 4. Many of the prophetic leaders internationally quote this scripture. Maybe not in the context in which I'm quoting it, but it's the same thing. Revelation chapter 4 verse 1 says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, or come up here, and I will show you things which must be, or which must take place hereafter. Hallelujah. So many of the prophetic leaders tend to say that the reviving of prophetic moves tends to coincide with this Revelation 4 door being opened in heaven. Hallelujah. Of course, you see, God, everything God is going to do in the future, he's already doing now. That's what Ecclesiastes tells us. There's nothing new under the sun. That which has been is what shall be. And that which is what is. Okay, that which is going to happen is what is taking place now. So God is going to open a door in heaven sometime in the future, but also he's opening the door of heaven now. And when he opens it, he says, come up here and I will show you things that are about to take place. Hallelujah. Now, think about it. Before John experienced this experience on the island of Patmos, where the Lord Jesus was showing him certain things, both personally as the Lord and also through angels, heaven had been opening, isn't it? It had been opening before. But here you're seeing a special event being described in this way, that I saw a door opened. Glory to God. Now that tells you something about what we said last week, that when we say open heaven, we're not saying you haven't had open heaven, or that even you're not in an open heaven now. But perhaps you're not in an open heaven that you could have next time. Or you're not yet in an open heaven like the one God is thinking for you today. Hallelujah. There's something new. God has a way of making the old new. He has a way of doing, like he says, behold, I do a new thing. And if it were told you, you would not believe that it is what I'm doing. But glory to Jesus. There's something new that you can experience. Even when you've seen God, you've touched God, you've experienced God, God can still say, if you do A, B, C, D, then I will touch you. Then you will touch me. Then I will see you. Then you will see me. Glory to God. So I'm just encouraging you that even you who has seen God can yet see God. Hallelujah. Even you who has seen heaven open can yet be somewhere and the Lord shows you a door being opened in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So visions are experienced. The number, that was number what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So number 6 is that heaven's opinion is made known. Hallelujah. A good example of this is in, what I mean by that is that heaven's opinion about activities on earth, about people on earth, is made known. Particular individuals, particular places, particular activities. One good example is in 1 Samuel, where, of course, we see this incidence of Samuel being in the tabernacle, and then he hears a voice telling him, Samuel, Samuel. Then he goes to goes to Eli, and Eli says, I didn't call you. Then he goes back. You know what transpired? Now, I wanted you to note that the Bible tells us in verse 1 of chapter 3 that in those days there was no open vision and the word of God was rare. Hallelujah. Now, of course, sometimes when you read the scriptures, you interpret certain meanings by the things that unfold. And here I'll give you at least, I'll help you see something here, that it's giving us this as a context so that you understand then what happens next when the Lord calls Samuel and someone says, goes to Eli. Eli says, I didn't call you. Then he goes back and comes back the second time. Then the third time Eli realizes that it's the Lord calling him, calling Samuel. Then he tells him the next time he calls you, say, here I am, Lord, speak to me or I'm listening, something like that. Now, then the Bible says, then the Lord came and stood and spoke to him about Eli and his sons and how they had been not doing good things as sons of the priests. And then he tells him that it's going to be bad in that on one day both of them are going to die. And then I don't know if he mentioned the taking of the Ark of the Covenant, but he essentially tells him, I'm not happy with what has been happening. Glory to God. Now, this is what I'm saying, that when heaven is open, heaven's opinions are made known. The Bible first introduces this by telling you there was no open vision so that you understand that Samuel now is, when the Lord comes to him, he's experiencing an open vision. And then what's the next thing happening? That here where the word of God was rare, now the Lord is going to make his mind known. Hallelujah. When there was no open vision, remember in those days, everybody did whatever they thought was right. They did anyhow, and whatever they in their mind they thought was the right thing. And now when the Lord shows up, or when heaven is opened, and an open vision comes, then he tells him, now this is exactly what is going to happen, or this is my opinion about what has been happening. Hallelujah. So, prayers are paid attention to, provisions abound, rewards are received, backup or support is afforded, visions are experienced, and heaven's opinion is made known. Glory to God. Glory to Jesus. Glory to God. You see, this, like Pastor usually shares with us, and Mrs. Isoke and others, shows you that you don't have to wait till you get to heaven to know whether you're doing okay or you're doing badly. Hallelujah. Paul says, I've run the race. I've kept the faith. Now awaits me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me. And not to me only, but all those who have loved his what? His appearing. How did Paul know that? Because he's in touch with God. When you're in touch with God, God will let you know whether you're doing badly or you're doing well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Now, I want to talk about the next best thing, or the greater thing of all these things we've been learning, which is, how do you have an open heaven? How do you cause there to be an open heaven? Because as we will see, you have a lot to do with it. Hallelujah. If you've noticed, the things I've just described here can be thought of as having days of heaven on the earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The first thing that you'll see in the scripture related to the opening of heaven is giving. Hallelujah. Giving and tithing. In Malachi chapter 3 verse 10, the Bible tells us that we should, when we bring our tithes and offerings, then the Lord will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing for us so that there will be no room to contain. Glory to Jesus. This is coming as a result of what? Bringing tithes and offerings. Hallelujah. So there is a principle of the tithe there. There's also the principle of offerings or giving. Notice you don't just offer. Offerings are not just the giving that you do in church. Because the Bible tells us, I think it's in Hebrews 13, that don't forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices in the Old Testament was a word used interchangeably with offerings, right? With such sacrifices, God is what? Is well pleased. I think it's in 13 verse 16 of Hebrews, unless I'm mistaken. Let's read there. Hebrews chapter 13 verse, glory. Verse 16, it says, but to do good and to communicate or to share, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is what? Is well pleased. I think also in Philippians, Paul commended the, was it Philippians or Corinthians? He commended the brethren for sending him help through certain brothers. And then he says, such giving was a scent of a sweet smell. An offering that was acceptable and pleasing to God. Hallelujah. So now he's saying that when you bring tithes and offerings into the house of God, he will open the windows of heaven. Hallelujah. So he's the one opening heaven, but in a sense it is you doing it. Because he's opening it as a response to your giving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, now, I want you to see something Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, he said something that I think many times we miss. 6 verse 19. Matthew chapter 6 verse 19. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Hallelujah. Wonderful scripture is telling us to store our treasures in heaven. How? When you give what you give in respect to God, when you give it as if you're giving it to God, you're giving it to a man, but you're giving it as if it is given to God, he counts it as a deposit in your heavenly account. Hallelujah. That's great news, but so often we stop there. We forget that in the plan of God, the rewards of God happen in the future, but also in the present life. Glory to God. Now, this takes us back to the scripture we've been reading today and last Sunday, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 12, which says, the Lord will open to you his good treasure. What did he say? Store your treasures where? In heaven. There's no moth, there's no rust, there's none of that. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now in 28:12, he's saying, the Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heaven, and pour you out rain. Hallelujah. Are you seeing that? This opening of the treasure is happening in the present life. That doesn't mean the reward will be all used up in the earthly life. No. In fact, this will just be a drop in the bucket. But it is nevertheless there. Hallelujah. You are going to experience the same reward into which you have been putting deposits. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And if you do that, and heaven is open, the consequence is Deuteronomy chapter 11 verse 21, which if I paraphrase says, you shall have days of heaven upon the earth. Hallelujah. You shall have days of heaven upon the earth. I'm paraphrasing. Glory to God. You shall have days of heaven upon the earth. Now, Don't see these scriptures as isolated. The having of days of heaven upon the earth is a consequence of God opening his good treasure, the heaven, and pouring you out rain, isn't it? But him opening his good treasure, the heaven, is a consequence of lay not up treasures for yourself on earth, but lay them up where? In heaven, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Are you seeing that? So, in a sense, really, it isn't God opening heaven. It isn't God causing you to have days of heaven on earth. In a sense, it is you doing all that. Because you're the one that starts the process. Glory to God. If there are no treasures in the heaven put there by you, there will be no rain to bring here as God opens the treasure of heaven. When he opens your treasure, there's nothing. So when rain comes, the rain comes empty. Hallelujah. And you don't have days of heaven on the earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, the first thing we do to open heaven, or to aid the opening of heaven, is that we give and we tithe. Glory to God. And when we do that, we are putting treasures in heaven, which treasures God will. Can I show you something? In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, again, this is a scripture sometimes Pastor reads for us. But you'll notice something there in verse 3. But if you begin from verse 1, it can help you get context. It says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you shall find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8. For you don't know what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds, now verse 3, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves where? Upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall be. What I wanted you to see is if the clouds are full, they empty themselves. Are your clouds full? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is your treasure of heaven full? Because if you make it full, it will empty itself. Isn't that what it is saying? Come on, say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you notice the same process he begins here. Cast your bread upon the waters. You'll find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 or to 8, because you don't know what evil shall come upon the earth. But if the clouds are full, do you notice this person that is, I also like something it adds there. Is it in this scripture? Yeah, it is here. If you go to verse 4, it says, he who observes the wind shall not sow, he that regards the clouds shall not reap, as you don't know what is the way of the spirit, know how bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so you do not know the works of God who makes all. Now verse 6, in the morning sow your seed, and in the evening withhold not your hand, for you do not know. For thou knowest not whether, you don't know which sowing shall. Are you seeing what he's saying there? Verse 6, sow in the morning, and also do not withhold your hand in the evening, because you do not know which shall prosper. In other words, which act that of sowing seed is going to prosper, the one you did in the morning or the one you did in the evening. Which is also telling you that you should just be doing as much of it as you can. Because when the clouds are full, they empty themselves. And that's what I'm trying to tell you when I say we have something to do with the opening of heaven, don't we? We have something to do with whether the clouds are full or not. Which means we have something to do with whether it's raining or not. I didn't read this one, but we can read it. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 26. Just to emphasize the point about rain being symbolic of what? Provisions, eh? And here, the fact that when the clouds are full, they will empty themselves. You don't have to do anything about it. Just make sure you keep putting something in the cloud. Now, notice Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 26 says, and I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing, And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of what? If the clouds are full, they empty themselves with what? With showers of blessing. Hallelujah. But how does it come about? You are the one putting something up there. Glory to God. So, the first way that we open heaven, or that we aid in opening heaven, is by giving or tithing, or both. Then the second is by not doing our good deeds to be seen by men, but to be seen by God. We've already mentioned this one in a way. This was in Matthew chapter 6, verse 4, verse 6, verse 18, and others, where it keeps emphasizing that if you do your good deeds not to be seen by men, but to be seen by God, your heavenly Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So again, you cannot hide away from the fact that there's an intentionalness about it. These things are not happening to people at random. Glory to God. It's not that God is just somehow promiscuously giving out rewards or opening heaven. No, he's saying that you do your deeds to be seen by me, not by man. And what's going to happen, you can be sure, I'm going to reward you openly. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you have a part to play. That's why, like it has been said, in a sense, when we do what we do, we shouldn't do it expecting a return. But again, in another sense, we should. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. Then in verse 24, as unto the Lord and not unto man. Then in verse 24, he says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, because you serve the Lord Christ. And then it says, and he who has done wrong will receive for the wrong which he has done. Verse 25, and God is no respecter of persons. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So again, I'm trying to say there, he's saying when you're kind to people, when you obey your masters, when you love your wife, when you honor your husband, when children obey their parents, when parents do not provoke their children, that's the context there in chapter 3 of Colossians. All these things they are doing, they do as unto the Lord and not unto men. And they do it without eye service, without being men pleasers, but doing it as unto what? The Lord. But he's saying, even when they do it as unto the Lord, they are not just doing it for just. They expect to get something out of it. Or they should expect to get something out of it. And that is that the Lord will give you the reward of the inheritance. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the third thing that we do to open heaven, or to aid the opening of heaven, hallelujah, is our preoccupation. Preoccupation means thinking about something, dwelling on it, it occupying your mind all the time. And we see this in Colossians 3, the beginning of that same chapter we've quoted from, when it tells us that we should set our minds on things what? Above. Hallelujah. Let's read there. Colossians. Are we already there? Okay. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. It says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection, verse 2, on things where? Above, not on things on the earth. Above means not in the sky. It's meaning heaven. Hallelujah. Then it says, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, I wanted you to realize that this kind of setting the mind, setting affection, setting thoughts on things above, again, is not for nothing. Why is it like that? It's like that so that you may have days of heaven, days of the above. down here. Hallelujah. Why set your mind on things there when you can't experience them and they are no good to you? Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. So, preoccupation, thinking, dwelling on, meditating on. The place you live in your mind is the place you will eventually live out externally. Hallelujah. Isn't it? Now, the fourth one is interesting. The fourth one is finding your place in the Word. Hallelujah. The fourth thing that we do to open heaven or to aid the opening of heaven is to find our place in the Word. And I take it from something I had one preacher say one time. He said, you know, in Luke chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, Jesus had returned to Nazareth. And as his custom was, he did what? He went into the synagogue and took the book, the scripture book, and opened to Isaiah. Or rather, it was the book of Isaiah, and he opened in Isaiah. And the Bible says he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of God is upon me because he has anointed me, and so on and so forth. And then in the end, was it verse 21 or something, or 18? He said, today is this scripture fulfilled in your what? In your hearing. Now this preacher said, the same way that Jesus found the place in the scripture where it was written about him, you are also supposed to find that place in the scripture where it's written about you. Now, it may not be written about you that literally Huntington, you know, shall be so and so, he shall be a prophet and blah, blah, blah. No. But you can place yourself there. Glory to God. So this preacher connected it to Ephesians 1, where the Bible tells us that we have been blessed in verse 3. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So again, you see, some things of scripture, I guess it's the way somebody says it and the timing in which they say it that makes you understand it. Otherwise, if you try to split it and do the Pythagoras theorem and pi equals what, you will not understand anything. Glory to God. But I'm telling you that day when that preacher said that, I got it. Hallelujah. When he found the place where it was written about him, hallelujah, from henceforward, he began to live in that place. Are you seeing that? Now, this, which happens to be one of the heavenly places in the scriptures for you to occupy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. And you see, the same way that meditating on the word, you remember Proverbs 4, 20 to 22 tells us about, you know, this book of the law. Not this book of the law. Am I forgetting this? I quote the scripture all the time. Anyway, about these words not departing out of your sight, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and medicine or health to all their what? Their flesh. That's Proverbs 4 verse what? 22. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Do not let them depart out of your sight, for they are life unto those that find them, and their health to all their what? Their flesh. Now, we've been told again and again that, you see, if the words of God are not departing out of your sight, if they are not, you're not ceasing to incline your ear to them, you are hearing them, you're seeing them, they're in your heart, you're feeling them, you are bound to see yourself as a possessor of the things that these scriptures are telling you. Are you seeing that? Now, I want to take an extension from that and say that the same way that you're supposed to come to a possessing or a being of a possessor of these things that you're occupying your mind with and so on and so forth, the same way you're supposed to come to where you are a dweller in the places that those scriptures are telling you exist. Praise the Lord. And they are for you. Hallelujah. Now, when you do that, glory to God, then you have the Bible life in your neighborhood. In Kamocha, in Salama Road, wherever you are, Chanja, Chireka, Weyogerere, wherever you are at that place, you will have found your own little heaven in the earth. Glory to Jesus. Are you getting that? Now, let me show you that this is actually a lot more literal than you think. When you go to this same Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 21, where we just mentioned a moment ago, now you're going to see something else interesting here. Because the scripture did not just come to the point of saying, then you shall have days of heaven on the earth, or then shall your days be multiplied upon the earth and the days of your children as the days of heaven upon the earth. It didn't just end up there. It started somewhere. Now, if you look at the context, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18, it says, therefore, shall you lay up these my words in where? In your heart, hallelujah, and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when you sit in the house, and when you walk by the way or the road, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Hallelujah. What are these words? On your forehead, on your wrist, like wristbands, like t-shirts with scriptures. Hallelujah. Like placards in your house. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. I found out from this that this is not just a nice tradition to do. When you have placards in your house and posters and wristbands and screensavers and wallpapers on your Facebook and whatever it is, you are creating a place that can become an actual tangible place here on solid ground that you're walking and living. And it's coming through the words that you have plastered all around. And notice verse 20. What is verse 20 telling us? It's saying, and you shall write them upon the doorposts of your house and upon your what? Your gates, that your days may be multiplied and the days of your children in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. I would like to think that it is coming from doing just like what Jesus did. He found the place where it was written of him. You can find, as you plaster these scriptures around you, like some people plaster Jeremiah 32 verse 27, I think, which says, I am the Lord God who made heaven and earth. Is there anything too hard for what? Is there anything too hard for me? Now, if you keep such a scripture in your house, one day, as you are going about your usual business, you will arrive in that place. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You see, you have to live in the place before you get to the place. You have to pre-exist in that place before you actually settle in it and experience it. Glory to God. This is the Balokole Dalu, but it can work for you. Hallelujah. 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 Put the words on your foreheads. Put them on your wrists. Bind them around your waist. Speak of them with your children. Speak them when you lie down. Speak them when you rise up. Speak them when you're on the way. Hallelujah. Put them on your doorposts. Hallelujah. That your days may be multiplied and the days of your children upon the earth, that you may have days of heaven upon the earth. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Now, number five is suffering. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, Jesus, from verse 10, Jesus was talking about, this is what people call the Beatitudes. Be this, be that, so that this will happen. Be this, be, hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm yet to find one thing that the Lord tells you to be that has no string attached. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Be this, be that, be the other, that this and that may happen. Hallelujah. Wow. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. What does it tell us? It tells us, blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. A kingdom is a domain. It is a space ruled by a certain king, or where a certain king's authority reaches or encompasses. Hallelujah. Now, the kingdom of God, there is a literal kingdom of God somewhere. Hallelujah. But there is also the kingdom of God in as far as where God's rule is enforced, or where God's rule reaches. Are you getting that? So when he says, yours is the kingdom of heaven, it's not just something like, yeah, mine is the kingdom of heaven. What is that? Hallelujah. We've already shown you that when you store treasure in heaven, God opens his treasure, the heaven, pours you out rain, showers of blessing, and so on and so forth. And then as a consequence, you have Deuteronomy 11:21, which is telling us days of heaven upon the what? The earth. I would like to think that that is a part of the kingdom of heaven being yours. Isn't it? So, blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for yours is the kingdom. Notice he says it is blessed. Did you notice that? In other words, it's good for you if they persecute you. It's I think it's in Good News where it translates blessed as happy, and to be envied is the man who does A, B, C, D. So wherever it says blessed is the man, it's saying happy is the man, to be envied is the man, and actually fortunate is the man. Hallelujah. In other words, he gets more out of it than he seems to lose. And what does he get out of it? That his is the kingdom of God. So if his is the kingdom of God, what's going to be there? What will prevail there are days of heaven on the earth. If the kingdom of heaven is yours, you are in it. What is in it is in you and around you. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. So he says, fortunate are you, or happy, or to be envied are you, if they persecute you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when men shall revile you, verse 11, and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, verse 12. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward, hallelujah, in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Great is your reward in heaven, keeping in mind that when the clouds are full, they empty themselves upon the earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, suffering is one of the ways that you aid. In other words, when you take, the Bible says, when you suffer for that which is not of your making, which you had no hand in, hallelujah, and you take it patiently, you will receive from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at things that are seen, but at things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Hallelujah. This is 2 Corinthians 4, I think 16 to 17 or 18. Now, why am I saying this? I'm saying you're not the one inflicting the suffering on yourself, but nevertheless the Bible is saying you should take it patiently. Because if you take it you will get more out of it than you seem to be suffering from it. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Now number six. Number six is what? Another way that we aid in the opening of heaven is that we do it by prayer. Glory to God. I hadn't thought about this one until I read this scripture in Matthew chapter 6. You know the Lord's Prayer? In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus is saying, you know, when you pray, pray like this: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed or holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is where? So that means the will of God being done in earth as it is in heaven has something to do with you wanting it to be done or you saying so. If you want it to be done that way, ask for it. Hallelujah. Then also in chapter 7, verse 11 of the same Matthew, it tells us that, let's read there. Glory to God. Chapter 7, verse 11. It says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your what? Children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Your Father who is in heaven, from whom you want good things, therefore, is when he gives these things to you, it's as good as heaven having given you. Hallelujah. Or it's as good as heaven having been given to you. Are you getting this? I hope I'm saying something. Glory to God. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Or else you could say, how much more shall the Father who is in heaven grant you heaven? Grant you the heaven that he has. Hallelujah. Because you ask him. Hallelujah. So you can wake up in the morning and ask, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in this part of the earth where I am. Hallelujah. Let the good things of heaven happen here. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, now I'm coming to the climax. Glory to Jesus. I'm going to talk about the one that probably you wouldn't see coming. And that is in Genesis chapter 28. Verse 12. And essentially this, I'm going to call it ascending. In the scriptures, the Bible showed us that people experienced heaven by ascending into heaven. They didn't go physically up to heaven, but let me show you. Then you'll tell me whether I'm lying or what I'm telling you is so. Glory to Jesus. Genesis chapter 28, this is a story about Jacob and what happens to Jacob in chapter 28. Hallelujah. Let's begin from verse 10, but our target is in 12 and 17. It says, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a place and tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took the stones of the place and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to what? To heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. And behold, verse 13, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac, and the land whereon you are lying, to you will I give it, and to your seed. Now, this scripture shows us that Jacob slept and had a dream in which he saw a staircase. And on this staircase, angels were ascending and descending. And remember what he said about it. When you come to verse 16, when Jacob woke up from his sleep, he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Then verse 17, he said, the Bible says, and he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Hallelujah. Now, of course you know that in the scriptures, many times what is said literally has a figurative meaning. It has a meaning that is implied rather than said. Or other times when someone says something that is figurative or it's not direct, that you are to expect the reality of that. Hallelujah. Now, here, he has a dream. He sees a staircase with angels ascending and descending. And his interpretation is that this is the gate of heaven. What do gates do? They open to places. Hallelujah. Now, let me show you how this figurative thing becomes literal. When you go to John chapter 1, verse 51, Jesus repeats something like this, and he adds the open heaven dimension to it. Or if you didn't see it in Genesis, in 51 he says, John chapter 1, verse 51, he said to him, he's saying to who? He's saying to Philip and Nathanael. Okay, not Philip and Nathanael. He's saying to Nathanael. In verse 51, he says, and he said to him, truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say to you, hereafter shall you see heaven open. Are you there? Shall you see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now, if you didn't see Jacob saying this was the gate of heaven as implying that this was an open heaven, Jesus said it for you. Because he said, you will see heaven open. And when you see heaven open, what it will be like is that there will be an ascending and a descending of angels. But why ascending and descending of angels? The scriptures again show us that angels they are our escorts, isn't it? They are helpers, they are servants, they are guardians. All of that implies that if you were in Kampala, your angels would be in Kampala, isn't it? If you were en route to Masaka, your angels would be en route to where? So if they were descending and ascending, you'd be ascending and descending because they are following the activities on earth, isn't it? Now let me show this to you in the book of Revelation, chapter 8, verse 35. Hallelujah. Now, this is not where the real point is. The real point is coming in Psalms. I'm going to show it to you. But I wanted to first show you this angel bit in Revelation chapter 8. You've probably seen this before, but Revelation chapter 8, verse 3 to 5. The Bible tells us, again, if we read it in context, verse 1 says, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Now come to verse 3. It says, and another angel came and stood at the altar. Now this is where we are reading. Having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of the what? Of the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Now look at verse 4. It says, and the smoke of the incense which came. Are you seeing what I was saying? That angels they are like in parallel with us. They are moving with how we are moving. Now notice, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God. And out of the angel's hand, and the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Hallelujah. Now, I'm just trying to say to you, what do you see there? At least on my side, I see as if this implies that when you are praying, the angels are ascending with you with the ascending of your prayers. And then they are descending in figurative sense. They are descending with the answers to these prayers. Did you see that? Ascending and what? Descending. But if you really see what's here between the lines, it is more that it is you who is ascending and descending. Glory to God. Because you're the initiator, they are going with what you're doing. Glory to God. The prayers came up with a certain smoke. The angel took these prayers with incense from the altar in the golden censer, and then the prayers again ascended up with the aid of the angel to the throne of God. Hallelujah. And then as a consequence of that, the angel took fire from the altar and mixed it with the, was it the incense or the prayers? And then he cast it back down. Verse 5 says, and the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Now, if I've convinced you of that, then you will see Psalm 24 in a different light. Psalm 24, verse 3 and 9, wherever we'll be able to end with this, is where we'll end with it. Psalms chapter 24. Glory to Jesus. All right. Psalm 24, verse 3. What does it say? Who shall ascend? Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his what? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Now, verse 7. We are in the context of who shall ascend into the what? The hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place. Then now we are finding ourselves being told, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be you lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall do what? Hallelujah. Then verse 8 says, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Then verse 9, lift up your heads, O you gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Again, to keep it simple, simply what we are saying is, you see, ascending and descending, if I may use the analogy of the Israelites, when the Israelites would be going for the feasts in Jerusalem, they sang these songs. One time we preached about them in Psalm 122 to Psalm 135. The headings of those psalms are a song of ascent. A song of what? Ascent. Now, let me tell you that it didn't matter whether where you were coming from was at a higher altitude than Jerusalem. The Jewish rabbis have said this, that it didn't matter whether where you were coming from was at a higher altitude than Jerusalem. All of you were ascending to the house of the Lord. Are you getting that? Now, what then does this ascending mean? This ascending does not mean going up a physical hill, but it means, in a sense, anticipation. You see, when you are anticipating something, you say your hopes are up. You rise to the occasion. Instead of being downcast, you are upbeat. Glory to God. You are in high spirits, you say. Praise the name of Jesus. So, ascending implies, it implies us having anticipation or us being excited. You see, things that are excited, like we did in school, they are in the air. Have you seen people dancing in a dusty place? They raise dust. Glory to God. And that tends to coincide with when things are heating up. Hallelujah. So, for example, in our worship, when we are worshiping, we say, I felt like we were building and building and building. What do you mean? We are ascending up into the hill of... So what it means is that God tends to feel entertained where people are on their feet for him. Are you getting that? When people are up on their feet for God, God feels welcome. God feels entertained. And therefore, heaven does what? Glory to Jesus. So, if I may say lastly, that's what Psalms 48:2 tells us when he tells us that beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Hallelujah. Thank you very much.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.